Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
I want you to know that I'd be more than willing, and if anybody else is watching overseas, and I'm sure they are, I'll be glad to meet Abu Nidal on equal terms anywhere in the world. Okay? There's an even deal for him. But I am not willing to have my wife and my four children meet Abu Nidal or his organization on his terms. And I want you to know what was going through my mind. I was about to leave for Tehran. I had already been told by Director Casey that I should be prepared to take my own life. I had already been told that the government of the United States, on an earlier proposal for a trip, might even disavow the fact that I had gone on the trip.
That's Oliver North, born 1943, former United States Marine Corps lieutenant, political commentator, television host, military historian, New York Times best-selling author. North was a National Security Council staff member during the Iran-Contra affair, a political scandal of the late 1980s. The scandal involved the clandestine sale of weapons to Iran, which was to encourage the release of U.S. hostages then held in Lebanon. Well, hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us. You know, every year between October 15th and December 7th is really big in the world of Medicare. That's when folks who are Medicare eligible can change their prescription drug coverage or Part D if they want to, or enroll or change what's called their Medicare Advantage plan, which is a type of Medicare health plan offered by a private company that contracts with Medicare to provide you with Medicare Part A and B. In two words, though, it is complicated, let's face it. So what I try to do at BloomerBoomer.com is get people who really know this and they can talk to us about it. So today I asked a pioneer in the home health agency management and training industry, Diane Omdahl, who has kept her finger on the pulse of the healthcare industry evolution for more than 30 years, and she is now co-founder of 65 Incorporated. Prior to that, she built Beacon Health Corporation. And when we spoke the other day, I asked her how she got started and what she's doing now.
And after I retired, we sold our company and I retired for about 6 months, I decided to get into the consumer side. Initially, I wanted to help people prevent Medicare from going bad, as I called it. But then on reflection, we decided with 10 to 12,000 or more boomers a day turning 65, if they got started the right way, then maybe they would be able to stay out of trouble or at least know what to do if things started to go in the wrong direction.
So that's what you mean when you say Medicare going bad.
Yes, yes. There were several situations in the past, both with my family and with friends who know that I was connected to healthcare, when I would hear different stories about people being forced into situations, not knowing their rights, not getting the right kind of care, mistakes in billing, all different kinds of things.
Well, I do want to definitely get your advice on what people should do during this open enrollment period, but I also just want to pick up on what you were saying about Medicare. What is it that's so difficult about it? Is it just that it's a complex animal?
I think complex animal is a good description. When I often use the example of my parents. When my father turned 65, he retired. He signed up for Social Security, and he got Medicare. Got a Medicare red, white, and blue card that went into his wallet. He would go to the doctor or the clinic, show that card, and everything was taken care of. Then over the years, Medicare started to take some different turns. The government decided it might be good to get private insurance companies into Medicare because they believe the efficiencies of the private industry would make Medicare more effective, more efficient. And that's when we ended up coming into the two different paths that people have, original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Of course, that's the third iteration of the private side. And then we threw in the drug plan, the Part D prescription drug coverage, and now it's very complex. If you miss your enrollment period, you could face late enrollment penalties. You know, there's different options with regard to coverage, in-network, out-of-network, doctor who accepts Medicare, who doesn't accept Medicare. And so you put all of that together with the fact that you're dealing with older people, and you have the perfect recipe for confusion.
And also, it becomes a new experience after, you know, some 65 years or so of life to jump into a new system.
That is very, very true. And people think they can just do what they used to do, and they have to pay more attention now. They have to realize that the decisions they make when they're turning 65 could affect them their entire life. And they may not be able to make a change. And part of what I've been trying to do is to inform people. I have a debate with my daughter every now and then that she says, well, people aren't going to want to read this, or people aren't going to want to learn that. Well, the thing is that they need to know what they're getting into. You wouldn't buy a house without reading the fine print. And this can have the same impact.
Yeah, and not to get too far off track, but I guess I just have to ask you, of these changes and the privatization and so on, is that a good thing, or how do you feel about that?
I think it depends on, if we're talking about people, I think it depends on the individual situation. The private insurance side has some very, very strong points. It's paired with the right type of individual. I think the private insurance, the Medicare Advantage plans aren't for everybody, just as the original Medicare side may not be for everybody. And that's the thing people have to realize.
Well, great. Well, look, let's get into what's going on and will be going on until December 7th, and that's the open enrollment or AEP or different ways that it's identified. So that's going on as we speak. What is important for people to know?
I think the first thing that people need to know with regard to this year is the government shutdown, which now is concluded, thankfully, has had a little bit of an impact on the Medicare.gov site and the Medicare Plan Finder. You go to Medicare.gov, and there was this banner that said, because of the shutdown, the information may not be up to date. I advocate that people look at the Plan Finder to compare the coverage they have with what they might have. And I noticed that there were some discrepancies. The information was not complete. And I expect that within the next week or two, that will all be remedied. So first thing I would suggest is that people not jump right in with both feet until maybe November. And that would be fine, because if they make a change in November or right up until December 7th, it would take effect January 1. So doing it now doesn't make the coverage come into being any sooner than if you wait until November or early December.
So the other part is that people need to be aware that this not only affects their Medicare Advantage plan, if that's what they want, but also the prescription drug plan. And also, it probably at some point would be worth pointing out that the impact or lack of an impact on a Medicare supplement or Medigap plan. So I've asked you, I guess, three different questions there.
And three different valid points to be made. That's correct. Yeah, if I start with the third one first, the lack of impact on Medicare supplement plans, that is because in probably the majority of states, once you have picked your Medicare supplement plan, you basically can think about having that plan for the rest of your life, because to try to switch, you run into some difficulties. The insurance companies that you're looking at to change into might apply medical underwriting and those kinds of things. So the Medicare supplement plans, you need to get into them very carefully, because there isn't a true open enrollment for those, except in a handful of states where you are able to make those changes either on your birthday or once a year. With regard to Medicare Advantage and the drug plans, the Affordable Care Act is having some impact on the benefits and the costs. And anybody who has started to dig into that will see that premiums are creeping up. But more importantly, I think, is in the details. When you look at the co-payments that you may have to pay for hospitalization or physician visits, they are also increasing. So I encourage people to look at the plan that they have now and actually, you know, turn the pages and dig into the details to look at how much are you going to be paying next year for the services that you use. And if you are concerned, that's when you go to the plan finder and you start to look at other plans and make that comparison. Drug plans, I think, even more significantly. Just on a first blush look at the plan finder, when you look at the annual costs this year for a particular schedule of medications versus last year, the numbers are all up. For instance, a popular plan in our area, Tier 1 medication, which is the preferred generic, the cheapest drug that people can take, the copayment is zero this year. Next year it will be $3. So you see those kinds of changes coming into the drug plans. Also, and I find this a bit disturbing, this trend. On your higher tier medications, with tier being a payment classification, they group the drugs into how much you're going to pay. Some of the plans are going from a flat copayment, such as $45 for a particular brand name medication, to 33% of the cost. And when you go from a flat copayment to a percentage of the cost, it's difficult for you to predict how much you're going to spend unless you know the cost of the medication. That's again where the plan finder can help you when it's up to date.
And just for clarification now, the plan finder, is that part of Medicare.gov or is that a separate location?
It is part of Medicare.gov. When you go to Medicare.gov and you look on the top left-hand side, you will see a box that says Find Health and Drug Plans. And you click on that, and the first screen that you'll have is your zip code. The second screen asks a couple questions about if you are enrolled in Medicare now. The third screen is where you would put in your medications. And when you put those medications in, unlike so many sites, you will get a identification number for your drug list and a password date, so you can go back and pull that up and keep it up to date. And then from there, you pick your pharmacies, and then you get to the plans. You know, I've heard so many people say that plan finder is so tough to use, or it's difficult or confusing. Well, it's pretty straightforward if you take the time to follow the instructions and put your medications in. Then you have your list in there, and next year, come open enrollment, you can update your drug list. You don't have to start over, and you'll get to see what's happening. So,
does this enrollment period mean that you have to make a change, or can you just let it roll over to next year?
If you feel compelled to make a change, I encourage them to compare and check things out so they know what they're getting into. But if they are satisfied, they don't have to do anything because the plan that they are in now will automatically renew them for next year.
Then, as far as the Part D, that's the same situation. They should probably look and see what changes are taking place and decide whether they want to keep it or not.
Yes, and to see how much their costs will be going up. And I do believe everybody's costs will be going up a little bit or a lot, depending. And I would suggest that people who take three or four or more brand name drugs, those are the people that need to pay attention, because it is possible to, you know, depending on how your particular drugs are classified, you could change plans and save a couple hundred or more dollars a year, just depending on how the drug plans have put the drugs in. And I think that's a point people need to understand, that not every drug plan treats the medications in the same way. They may not carry your medication. They may carry it in only a generic, or, you know, all different kinds of things can happen. And so by looking in the plan finder, you can identify what is your best option.
You know, and that's what makes this whole process so complicated, because it's almost beyond the scope of a lot of people, most people's understanding, really.
Yes, and particularly when you consider some of these people who, you know, the drug plan came into being, what is it, about 7 years ago now, you know, if they're 75 or 80 years old, you know, it's tough. And, you know, maybe they might have a grandson that can help them, but it is difficult to look at all that. And they just want to have somebody else do it, or they just want to leave it the way it is, and that may not be the best thing.
Yeah. Now, the other one that is always an important part of all this time of year is having to do with the catastrophic care and the donut hole and so on, or the catastrophic coverage, I guess it's called, but maybe you can straighten that out. But that always seems to be changing a little bit. What's going on with that?
The Medicare prescription drug has four payment stages, and when you refer to the donut hole, that's the third stage, and when we refer to the catastrophic coverage, that's the fourth stage. So everybody starts out in the deductible, and then they go into initial coverage. Then there's a smaller percentage, those people that take the 3 to 4 brand name drugs, that will end up in the donut hole. Now, the interesting thing that has gotten press is the fact that falling into the donut hole this year will happen at $140 less falling into the donut hole next year will occur at $140 less. In other words, this year you fall into the donut hole when drug costs are $2,970. Next year you fall into it at $2,830, and people are thinking, holy cow, you know, what's happening? Well, basically all of the costs are shifting downward. This year the deductible is $325, next year it is $310. Falling into the donut hole this year was $2,970, next year $2,830. And getting out of the donut hole into catastrophic coverage, this year $4,750, next year $4,550. So this is all based on a government formula depending on a bunch of factors. And so this year everything is shifting down. And the important thing about the catastrophic coverage, for those who are familiar, if you actually make it through the donut hole, then you don't pay very much for medications for the rest of the year. Next year, that will be, I believe, $2.55 for a generic and $6.35 for a brand name drug.
So this is, I take it as good news that the donut hole has gotten smaller, you might say. Is that right?
Well, the donut hole hasn't gotten smaller. It's just, you know, it's the same as it's been. It's just shifted a little bit. But with regard to the donut hole closing, that has to deal with the government's efforts to provide discounts. The donut hole is officially called the coverage gap. The reason it's called that is because the insurance company doesn't pay anything. There's a gap in coverage when you get into the donut hole. And I think the reason that happened is, I don't know if Congress could have ever passed a drug benefit if it would have been coverage through all of the medications. It might have been too costly. That's my opinion. But anyway, there are discounts in the donut hole on the brand name drug, 52.5%, so that the beneficiary will pay 47.5 cents for every dollar in the donut hole. So that's something that didn't exist a couple years ago. And then the generic drugs is a 28% discount. So the person who has a drug plan will pay 72 cents instead of a dollar. And so that's kind of the shrinking of the donut hole. You end up with having those benefits, and you don't pay as much as you did prior to 2011. One other important point, I think, is just a clarification. When this donut hole closes in several years, there are many people who think they won't be paying anything for the medications in the donut hole, but that is not true. What they will be paying is 25%. Of the cost of the medication, which is basically what you pay in the first stages of the drug plan. 25%, that's what you'll pay in the donut hole.
I see it. Now, for folks who are just becoming eligible for Medicare and they are wrestling with whether or not to have a prescription drug plan or not, how do you view that?
I can understand them wrestling with having a prescription drug plan because if they go original Medicare and have a standalone drug plan, prescriptions start at around $12 to $15 a month and go up from there. And if you don't take medications, why are you paying for this? What they need to know that if they do not enroll at the time that they are first eligible for Medicare, there is a late enrollment penalty. And that late enrollment penalty this year is about 31 cents a month for every month that you delay enrollment. So if you delay enrollment for 10 months, you would have $3.10 added to your premium plan this year. So that is something people who are wrestling with whether or not to get a drug plan need to know, that there is a late enrollment penalty. And the longer that you procrastinate, the more that that penalty will be.
Well, thanks.
And that will follow you for your life.
Thanks for that explanation. So, Diane, tell us a little bit about your company, 65 Incorporated.
Our company is just 1 year old. And the first year, we've been putting up educational videos on our website and all kinds of information about enrollment, about the different parts of Medicare, all the kinds of ins and outs that you run into so that you are informed when you make that choice. And we will be moving into helping those who wish to provide assistance with the enrollment process. And that's something that we're gearing up to start within probably the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's really a great website. That's 65incorporated.com. I was navigating around it the other day, and a lot of good videos and information. So finally, Diane, what would be a few tips that you could share with us during this enrollment period?
During the open enrollment period, tip number one, pay attention to any name changes on the plans. Plans are changing their name, and in some cases, it's more than a name change. It's a major change in the way that they will provide services. I'm seeing that they are going from plans that allow people to go out of network to get coverage. They're eliminating that now, that you would have to stay in network. That would be one of the tips that I would say. Tip number two, even if you are very satisfied with the plan, either your Medicare Advantage or your drug plan, check it out so that you will not be surprised, because if you find out something next year, you have to wait an entire year to make a change. For those just getting into Medicare, one fallacy we often find is that people think they can put it off until they do Social Security, but they can't. They need to check on, even if they're still working, they need to check whether or not they need to enroll in Medicare. You know, some people who have coverage at work may be able to delay Medicare, but they need to check. They need to pay attention to that. Fourth tip, I would think, is what I kind of mentioned before, and that is take the time to learn about your options. Don't do what your husband or wife did or what your best friend did, because it may not fit. Husbands and wives can have different plans. Medicare is structured. It covers just one person. So take the time to study your options and don't rush into anything. And by doing that, then, number five, you will avoid any late enrollment penalties that you might run into.
Well, Diane, you've provided some great information, and I thank you so much for your time.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, giving me the opportunity to talk to people, because I've been an educator most of my life, and I think education is definitely a key to success.
Well, thanks, Diane.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.